I want to get you to turn to an Old Testament book in the Bible, the book of Job. The book of Job. Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1. As I told you last Sunday, as I had the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit, I've taken note of many of the folks. I mean, you just look around and you see many folks are going through some hard times. Man, folks have been going through surgeries and sicknesses and loved ones in the hospital and loved ones who've had folks that's gone on to heaven to be with them. And Wednesday, when Miss Pippi's funeral was going on Wednesday, what a blessing that funeral service was. Where is Donna? Where's Donna now? She's here somewhere. There she is, back on the back row. Yeah. She always sat back there with Pippi. Pastor told us, said, every time Pastor would come in to preach, and Pippi was sitting on that back row back there, she'd look up at preacher and say, page number. What's the page number? Want to find out where he was preaching at. And boy, she was excited about it. And you know what? That young lady preached her own funeral. You know, in the life that she lived from day to day. And through the testimonies and then the message that was given, we know of at least three folks that came to know Christ as their Savior. And then after the service, while we were in there eating a meal, I had a meal with all the family and everybody there, a dear man came up to me and said, "Preacher, I've got to talk to you about something. Could we maybe talk after the service?" I said, "Well, sure." And we talked for a long time out in the hallway out here. And when it came down to it, he needed Christ as his Savior, and he trusted Christ as his Savior as well. And so God was so faithful. Even in death, there comes life. And that seed was planted that day, and life formed, sprang up from it. And I just thank God for that. Amen. What a great thing. I want you to look at something with me here today. There are times when we all come back and say, "Well, Lord, I don't understand why this is happening to me. I don't understand what is happening to me." Many times we go through things and in life, our bodies change. We get older. We're not getting younger. We may try to feel younger. We may try to exercise and then go home and sleep 12 hours and do things like that. But you know what? Things happen in our lives, and we don't know what's going on. And we look at God and we say, "God, why is this happening to me? I just do not understand. I don't understand." And we ask the Lord, "Why, Lord, am I having to endure such heartache, such trials, such persecutions as I'm going through, such health and afflictions that's hitting my life?" And you know, I honestly can't give an answer to you about that. I don't know why the Lord allows those things to happen sometimes the way that he does. I don't know that. And I may not know why God does it, but I'm assured of this, that God is still in control of things. And God knows what he's doing. And when I get to heaven one day, I'm going to fully understand. And I'm going to know. And I'm going to see those things then. But folks, there are going to be times when we simply cannot figure out what God is doing in our lives. And in this book of Job, I've preached here before. If you've heard me preach this before, then just take your nap or just turn a new page or something there. But I wanted to share this. I worked on a message, and I'll be honest with you. I left here late last night and was just not sure that this is what God wanted me to preach. And so I left here last night. I went back home. I sat down, got a little bite to eat, and it was close to 10:30, and I sat down. And I said, "Lord, you've got to show me. I just don't have peace about it, Lord." And when I got up early this morning, I went back to God, and I said, "Lord, I need to know that this is exactly what you want me to preach." And that was not what he wanted me to preach. But this is. I feel like this is what he wants me to preach this morning to you. And from the book of Job today, I want you to look at something here in verse number 1. Here we see the story of a man that had been so blessed by God. God gave him his own business, so to speak. He had many earthly possessions. He had physical joys, great pleasure in life. And not only was this man Job blessed with physical pleasures and possessions, but God had given this man a peace and a joy in his heart that surpassed all the joy that the temporal things of this life could give unto him. And he knew the Lord as his own God, his own Savior. And I truly believe that after you read this story, it's 42 chapters, when you read this whole story, you come to realize that Job realized exactly where all his blessings came from. So many times we are prone to look at the blessings and be so thankful for the blessings that we forget who gives those blessings. We forget the giver, and that's the Lord God. But the Bible says here in the very first verse of this book, it said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And I want to just give you the message this morning, and it's entitled, there was a man whose name was Job. There was a man whose name was Job. Father, I want to ask you once again, God, for strength for this message this morning. Lord, I stand before you today as your servant. And Lord, I'm doing all within my power, God, to be obedient to your will for the message this morning. And I pray, dear God, that you'll use me to speak the words, Lord, that are pleasing to your heart and would be a help to your people today. Many are suffering, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, for our pastor and his family there in West Virginia. I pray, God, that you'll strengthen them. And Lord, if he has the opportunity to hear this message, I pray, God, that you'll strengthen him through the words of this book we call the Holy Bible. God, give him assurance that everything's all right and that you're still in charge of things. And I pray, God, that you'll use this message to bring folks unto you. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. The title of the message, again, is There Was a Man Whose Name Was Job. I want you to see a couple things this morning. Number one, I want you to see there was a man, an ordinary man, a physical man, and his name was Job. Look at verse number one, the first chapter of the book. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now let's look at some things found in verse 1 about this man. The Bible says that this man was perfect. Perfect, meaning he was complete in God. He was matured in spirit. Ladies, I want you to understand something. There is no perfect man. My wife got the last one, okay? All right? So I just want you to know that this morning, okay? All right? She got the last one. But listen, I want you to understand something. There is nobody that's perfect. In this body that we live, in this life that we live, there are none of us that's perfect in the eyes of men. But you know what? Christ makes us perfect in him. Now, we're not sinless. That doesn't mean that we don't sin. But it means that we have grown up in the Lord. We have been completed, made whole in him. And that's the way God described this man. Look again, the Bible said that he was upright, meaning that he was marked by strong moral standards and rectitude. He was strong in his morals. Why? Because he knew the word of God. Listen to me, folks. This book we call the Bible will either keep you from sin or sin will keep you from this book. And folks, we need to understand today, if we want to know what is good and right and righteous in this world of sin and shame, we need to get in the Word of God and allow the Word of God to get into us. We have to do that. But look at what else it said. It said, the Bible said here that he was one that feared God. That word feared meant that Job was a reverential man. He was in reverential awe of God and who God was. Folks, listen to me today. We're living in a world today that doesn't fear God. If they were fearful of God, they wouldn't be doing the things that they're doing today. The things that happened this past week at our White House lawn would have never happened if they feared God. But I'm going to tell you something. One day, they're going to fear God. They're going to stand before God. They're going to give account unto God. And one day, they'll have the fear that they wish they would have had on this earth. And then the Bible said that he eschewed evil. That word eschewed literally means he avoided something habitually. He made it a habit to stay away from those things that were not right in the eyes of God. You know, the book of 1 Thessalonians says, abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance. If it looks bad, don't go near it. If it looks bad, don't play with it. We need to eschew evil. We need to take it and put it away from us. It means to... especially on moral or practical grounds, it means literally to shun, to put something away from us, to get or to stay out of the way of something or to escape, to escape. You want to get away from that which is evil. Now look at verses 2 and 3 and what they have to say about this man. Verse 2 says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. My goodness. He had his quiver full, did he not? He had a bunch of children. 7 sons and 3 daughters. Look at verse 3. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. This man was blessed of God, wouldn't you say? I think God had truly blessed him. And this man was faithful to God and to his family. And you say, well, preacher, how do you know that? Look at verses 4 and 5. Look what the Bible said. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job what? Continually. I want you to take note of that verse, verse 5. Thus did Job continually. This man of God was not only faithful to God, but he was faithful to his family. You know what, folks? My children are all gone. They live down in the North Carolina, Virginia area. And you know what? We don't get to see them very much. But every morning I can rise up and I can pray for my children. Amen. And I do pray for them. And I pray that God will keep their hearts in the right position. You know what? Job said it here. He said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And we don't know what dwells in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, so many times. But we can pray for them. And we can lift them up to God and ask God to do the work that we cannot do for them. And thus did Job continually. There was a man whose name was Job. But then look at this. I want you to understand something. The Bible tells us not only was there a man named Job, but there was an enemy. There was an enemy. Folks, do you realize today you have an enemy? There is an enemy to the child of God. To every man, woman, boy, and girl, saved or lost, there is an enemy, and his name is Satan. Now, I want you to look at this, verses 6 and 7. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. I want you to understand something today, folks. We are warned in the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, we are warned to understand that we have an enemy today that wants to do everything he can do to those that are lost, have never been saved. He wants to keep them from getting saved. He wants to keep them from hearing a clear presentation of the message of the gospel so that he can damn their souls and they don't spend eternity with God, but they spend eternity separated from God forever. He's the enemy of a lost man. But he's also the enemy of the saved man. He's your enemy today because Satan knows he cannot do anything about your salvation. He cannot change that. He cannot take it away. But if he can make you to be ineffective as a child of God, that's exactly what he'll do. He'll discourage you. He'll tempt you. He'll cause you to doubt the Word of God. So Peter warns in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he said, be sober. In other words, be clear-minded on this thing. Be vigilant. Be active. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil only wants to rob, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if we allow him to do it, he will do it. Folks, listen to me today. You and I have an enemy today, even as did Brother Job. But you and I need to understand something this morning. God already knew the intentions of this enemy. God knew the intentions of this enemy. Nothing takes God by surprise. And the intentions of his enemy and of Job's enemy was to walk about bragging to God about his wicked doings on the earth. You know what I think the devil likes to do? You know, the Bible said in the book of Revelation, he is the accuser of the brethren. The devil likes to look at you and me who are imperfect in this world and in this life, and he likes to accuse us of anything and everything that he can find wrong in our lives. Oh, the devil says to God, I thought he said he loved you. And he's not doing this. And he's not doing that. And boy, did you see what he did? Did you hear what he said? Listen to me. The devil is indeed our accuser. And the devil here was bragging about walking around in the world and just looking at all that he had control over. And God took note of that. It didn't take God by surprise. But the Bible said that God knew the intentions of this enemy. Third thing, I want you to understand something, is that there is not only a man, not only is there an enemy, but there is a God that knows all things. There's a God that knows all things. You see, God knew his servant Job. And the Bible said here in verse number 8 that when Satan said what he did, and God knew the intentions of his heart, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Satan's bragging about walking about the earth, just walking to and fro in the midst of the earth, and he's bragging about all those that he's gotten deceived by his wicked lies and his deceptions, and he's throwing all those things up in the face of God. And God just gets tired of hearing it. And he looks at Satan and he said, hang on there a minute. Have you even considered my servant Job? He's a man that loves me. He fears God. There's none in the world like him. He's a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. God knew Job's testimony. And folks, God knows your testimony, my testimony today as well. And that is why we've got to determine no matter what happens, we're going to live for God. We're going to live in the power of his might. God knew Job's testimony. There's none like him, he said. God knew Job's mind. Look what he said in verse 8. That he was perfect. He was complete. He was matured in the Lord. Let me remind you of a verse in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3, where the Bible said, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Why? Because he trusteth in thee. You know what? I've got somebody that I can put my faith and trust in today. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he clears my mind. God knew his testimony. God knew Job's mind. God knew his heart. Look what he said in verse 8. That he was upright. He had strong morals. Why? Because his heart was right with God. Folks, if you want to be able to stand for God, keep your heart clean with God. Amen. Don't let the world stain you. Listen, the Bible tells us over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse number 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. In other words, what's in your heart, that's what's going to guide you. That's what's going to lead you. There's only one throne in your heart. Let me ask you that. Who's sitting on that throne? Who is sitting on the throne of your heart today? The Holy Spirit of God is your guide. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. God knew Job's heart. Then God knew Job's desire. And what was God impressed with most, I believe, with Job? Let me tell you what I think that spoke to God's heart more than anything. And that was Job's desire to fear God and to eschew evil. To fear the Lord, to love God above all other things, so that that love would cause him to stay away from those things that were questionable. Those things that would cause people to doubt what we say and what we believe as being the same thing. And God knew Job's desire. Look at it. Verse 8. He's one that feareth God, and he escheweth evil. Job did all he could to avoid sin. Now, he knew God would forgive him if he did sin, but he chose to avoid it so he didn't have to deal with sin. Amen? Listen, if there's a mud puddle out in your yard, okay, as children, all our children like to go and jump right in the middle of it. I remember, and even when I'm out walking my dog, bless her heart, she'll walk right through the middle of that thing. And I'll drag her over here on the other side. I say, "Girl, what's the matter? You act like a dog or something." Don't do that. Listen, we need to stay away from those mud puddles in our lives today that get us stained and messed up. God knew his servant Job. So in this true story, I want you to see how that God offered his servant, as seen here in verse number 8. God offered his servant for the devil to observe. You see, the devil had seen all the ones that were already doing wrong. The devil knew who those folks were that said they loved God, but they were living for the world. The devil saw all those folks that said, "Oh, we love Jesus, but..." And God said, "Wait a minute, get your eyes off of that. Let me show you one that really does love me." And the Bible said here, the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered, have you even thought about my servant Job?" And I want you to notice here in verse 8, it was the Lord that brought this up to Satan. God offered this servant to be tested. Why? Because God knew his servant could pass the test. God knows, folks, what you and I can bear. And he never puts on us more than that which we can bear. But he will put on us some things to bear. And there are going to be times where we're going to be tested. There are going to be times when our faith in God is going to be tested. There are going to be times that we don't understand. We just don't know which way to turn. And God says, "Trust me. I'll take care of it." God chose that servant whose trust in God would silence the accusations of the enemy of God, Satan. Let me ask you today, could God do that if it were you? Would God say, "Listen, Satan, I hear everything you're saying, but consider my servant," and he names you. If you knew that, it'd probably scare you to death, would it not? It'd scare me. Now, I don't personally believe that that Job knew anything about what was going on in this situation. I honestly don't think so. But you know what? When God offered his servant to be tested by Satan, that made that servant of God even more special to God. I think about right now, our pastor, he's been used of God to be preaching. He was preaching earlier this week. He preached again Friday night somewhere. He's supposed to be down in Grenada preaching and giving out the Word of God. Folks are hearing the message of the gospel. They're getting saved. And the devil doesn't like that. So what's he going to do? He's going to try to test him. But you know what? He can't do nothing. That's not good English. But he can't do anything without the approval of God. Amen? And God offered his special servant to Satan to be tested. And you know what? That special servant was hand-picked by God. Hand-picked by God. I believe that this means God had a special purpose for Job. And you know what? When you're going through trials and testings and heartaches and sorrows and griefs and all the things that we have to go through in this life, listen to me today. God has a special purpose for that event coming into your life. And you need to trust the Lord. You need to depend upon him and know that God is all in control. I want you to see this today. God's servant was chosen for one purpose. And that purpose was to suffer for Christ. Let me ask you something today. Do you ever think about how that Christ suffered for you? Christ Jesus suffered shame, blasphemy, ridicule, physical heartaches, physical beatings. He was spit upon. He was scourged, nailed to a cross, and made fun of, mocked, and ridiculed for one purpose. And that purpose was so that you and I could be birthed into his family. He did it all for you and for me. Now, I'm going to tell you something today. If God were willing to do that for you and for me, can we not be willing to trust him when we have to go through the little trials and things that we have to go through today? The things that we have to go through on this earth are temporary. They'll last but just a few moments. But at the time that we're going through it, it seems like they last for an eternity. And that's when we need the power of God upon us. And to know that God has chosen for that time for you and me to be tested, to be proven by the Lord God. Look here at verse number 12. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now I want you to turn over to chapter 2 just a moment. Job chapter number 2. And I want you to look at verses 3 through 6. The Bible said after Satan went out from the presence of God to go after this servant of God, the Bible said unto Satan, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And he still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth your hand, thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Job had lost his family. In chapter 1, if you read all of chapter 1, he lost all 10 of his children in one day. Their lives are snuffed out by Satan. He lost all of his possessions, all that he had, his business, his motive for working, His opportunity to provide for his family, everything was lost. And yet, God said, listen, he's kept his integrity. He has served me. He's still been faithful to me. He's trusting me. And Satan said unto the Lord, skin for skin, no big deal. Yeah, all that a man hath will he give for his life. He said, you just let me touch him. Take away his health. Take away that which he has. Why was this servant chosen to suffer? Let me give you a couple reasons. Number one, it was for the sake of God's power and God's testimony. Job was a trophy of God's great grace. Now you listen to me today. You can choose to live your life any way you want to choose it. That's between you and God. But when you're going through heartaches and trials and situations that you just do not understand, and it seems like the end never comes, if you're not careful, you'll end up your life being mad at God and upset with the Lord because he's let this come into your life. You'll get mad at God, and Satan will pick you up and put you up on his trophy shelf and say, see there, God? I told you he didn't love you. Or we can keep our eyes on Jesus and live in the integrity of our heart because we love the Lord enough to do that. And God says, uh-uh, Satan, this one's on my trophy shelf. And Satan looks at that and he just gets mad. Oh, I love to make the devil mad, don't you? Amen. I love to make him mad. Listen, we got one thing in common. He hates me and I hate him. Amen. We've got that in common. But everything that Job had to go through was for the sake of God's power and God's testimony. And for the sake of Job's testimony and trust in God, Job chose to trust God. Even though he did not understand, even though he could not figure out what was going on, Job was willing to trust God. Amen. And not question him about it. But he trusted him. He depended that God knew what he was doing. You know, I'm reminded of a Bible verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. And the Bible talks there about we have this treasure of God's great grace, this treasure of salvation, the treasure of peace with God, the treasure of knowing Christ as our Savior. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, okay? These old vessels don't look like much. But you know what? It said that the excellency of the power may be of God. And not of us. And when people look at us and they see us being able to go through those times of testing and trials and heartache and sorrow, and they see the joy of the Lord upon our faces, and they hear the joy of the Lord in their tone of voice, and they hear the songs of joy that we sing unto God, even in times of testing, they say, wow, I want something like that from God. Folks, that's what Job's life was like. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now I want you to see number four. How that God rewarded his servant. God rewarded Job for remaining faithful. Job did not fully understand what was going on in his life. Who of us today understands why we have to go through what we have to go through? We don't understand that. There's no way we can understand those things. We have just a finite human mind. We cannot understand those things. But God knows, amen? And God can help us. And because Job put his faith not in self, not in his three friends that turned his back on him, not in his wife that fussed at him and said, oh, just curse God and die, Job. Job said, no, you speak like a foolish woman. I'm going to keep my faith and trust in the God who loves me. And because he was faithful to do that and to endure what he went through, the Bible said that God rewarded his servant. Why did he reward his servant? Number one, for trusting God. Go to chapter 42 just a moment. Job chapter 42. And I want you to see this. Job chapter 42. And in verses 1 and 2, the Bible said, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." Job looked at God and he said, "Lord, I've got nobody else to go to except you. Amen. I have no one else to turn to, but I'm going to trust you." And God rewarded his servant for trusting him. But look at this, number two. God rewarded that servant who trusted him. God rewarded his servant for suffering for him. You know what? We got a generation of Christians today that don't want to suffer anything for God. Oh, they don't go out and go visit because they're afraid somebody won't take their gospel tract. They're afraid that somebody will slam the door in their face. Oh, they just don't have time to go out and tell people that don't want to hear anything about God. You know what? If you'll trust God and you'll do a little suffering for the Lord, God will bless you when you do that. And God rewarded this man of God for trusting him and for suffering for him. Look at verse number 3, chapter 42, verse number 3. The Bible said, "Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." He said, "God, I don't understand it, but I'm willing to trust you. And if you need me to suffer for you right now, I'll suffer for you. And I'll stay faithful to you." And look at this. God rewarded his servant for believing that God would be faithful to hear his cry, even when he did not understand what God was doing in his life. How many times have we cried out unto God, "God, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. Lord, why is this happening right now?" And we go to God because we know that God will hear our cry. And we take our burdens to him. Look what he said, verses 4 and 6. "Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." He said, "Lord, I've known that you were able to supply needs before. I knew that, God, you are a faithful God. I knew those things. I've heard the word being taught and preached. But now, Lord, I've experienced your grace. I felt your hand of comfort upon my soul in my deepest sorrow. And God, now I know, I've seen it with my eye. And when I look back at those times I didn't trust you," Job said, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." You know what? Sometimes suffering causes us to have to look nowhere else but up. Up unto God. And God rewards his servant. God rewarded his faithful servant. Look at verses 10 through 13. Look at this. "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends." You know what Job could have done? He could have gotten mad and bitter at his friends. All his friends did was accuse him of sinning. "Job, if you hadn't have done wrong, then you wouldn't be going through all these problems." They didn't understand. They didn't have a clue of what was going on. And it brought discord between Job and his friends. But when Job said, "God, I'm going to trust you, and I want to pray for my friends over here, they don't understand. Lord, open their eyes. God, help them to see truth. Help them, Lord, to see that your hand is in all this and that you're in control." And God said, the Bible says here, that the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. They bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold, so that the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. God gave him not just these first 7 sons and 3 daughters, but he gave him another 7 sons and 3 daughters. 20 children. God rewarded his children. I don't know if his wife could say that, but God blessed Job. Amen. Now, you listen to me today. I want to just say this as I close. I'll be honest with you this morning, folks. I do not understand why we have to go through the things that we have to go through. I don't understand why many of the staff, the church staff, pastoral staff, have had to go through the heartaches and the burdens and the sorrows that they've got in their heart and their lives. The times of testing. But I know this. God's got a plan. And God's got power to see us through this thing. And God will see us through this thing. Church family, listen to me. Many of you have gone through heartaches in your life. But has it not been that God has opened your eyes to see that he was able to bring comfort and peace when the world said there is no comfort and peace? And has he not been able to do the things for you that Satan said, oh, God doesn't care for you. And yet God, through it all, he proved that he careth for you. Amen. And folks, today, I'm just saying what I'm saying to you today because we need to remember who the blessings come from and where our strength comes from to be able to serve him in the midst of good times and in the midst of bad times. We need to know who is in control of our lives. And listen, though we may not understand why, if God is in charge, the why doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. God will take care of it. I want you today to think about your position with God and where you are when you have to suffer and what your attitude has been toward God. Listen to me, child of God, don't get mad at God. God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. I remember when I broke my ankle and I was in a cast and couldn't walk on it. From June of one year till February of the next year. And I had to go back and learn to walk again with this leg. And that physical therapist said, now this is going to hurt. And I said, well, then don't do it. They said, but you got to have it. And I said, do I really have to have this? And they said, you got to have it. And they would bend that foot and they would turn that leg. And they would, and man, sweat, beads of sweat would just pour off of me. And then he'd say, now we're going to walk on it. And I said, we got to walk on it too. You know what? All that he did to help me so that I could go about and do those things that God wanted me to do. Folks, sometimes the sweat may pour off our spiritual brow. And we may wonder, God, do you really have a plan? Yes, God has a plan. Amen. And you are in it today. There was a man named Job. And that man's story could apply to each of us today. How will you trust God in your situation? Let's bow our heads just a moment. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I do not know what you're going through today. I don't fully understand why any of us are having to go through the things that we go through. But you know what? When God gives the tests, I want you to understand that God is always the answer. He has the answers. Seek His face. Trust His word. Maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Listen, we wouldn't want to do anything in this world to embarrass you. Nothing like that. But listen to me today. If you're not saved, we do not want you to die without Christ as your Savior. And we will take the Word of God and show you how to be saved if you would like to be saved. You can come and we'll set you aside and just take the Word of God and show you how that you can know Christ as your own personal Savior. But don't spend eternity lost and separated from God. Please don't do that. And child of God, if maybe today you're going through some heartaches, you're going through some things, maybe you just need to come to God and say, Dear God, I'm trusting You. I'm depending upon You. And Lord, I need Your help today. God will give that help if you'll just trust Him.